So I'll read verse 5 and 6 together. This is verse 5. When one gets the opportunity of a suitable, auspicious time and place, one should, with love, offer food prepared with ghee to the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then offer the prasad to a suitable person, a Vaishnava or Brahmana. This will be the cause of everlasting prosperity. Text 6. One should offer prasada to the demigods, the saintly persons, one's forefathers, the people in general, one's family members, one's relatives, and one's friends, seeing all them as devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As mentioned above, it is recommended that everyone distribute prasada, considering every living being as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Even in feeding the poor, one should distribute prasada. In Kali Yuga, there is a scarcity of food almost every year, and thus philanthropists spend lavishly to feed the poor. For this, they invent the term Daridya Narayan Seva. This is prohibited. One should distribute sumptuous prasadam, considering everyone a part of the Supreme Lord. But one should not juggle words to make a poor man Narayan. Everyone is related to the Supreme Lord, but one should not mistakenly think that because one is related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has become the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Such a Mayavad philosophy is extremely dangerous, especially for a devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore strictly forbidden us to associate with Mayavadi philosophers. Mayavadi bhashya sunile hoy sarvanas. If one associates with Mayavadi philosophy, his devotional life is doomed. 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 Om agyan timirandasya ginajana salakaya chaksu unbilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadammayam Dadati Swampadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadegamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganath Raganatam Bitam Tam Sujivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vishvanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kaupa taruvischa kripa sindhu bhebacha titanam bhavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namaho namah nama om vishnu padaya krishna pristaya bhutale srimakti bhakti vedanta swami iti namine namaste saraswati devi gaurvani pracharine nirvishesa sunyavadi paschatya desatarine Jaya Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu, Nithananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudhi, Gaudiya Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. So, instructions for civilized human beings, not for uncivilized. So here is about offering prasad. Of course, there are very many ways that one can offer prasad, as mentioned here. And food, as Prabhupada says, is in scarcity in years. Why is it in scarcity? There's plenty of food. There's no problem. It's just misdistribution of food or mismanagement. Because of mismanagement, people, there are scarcity on one side and what we say abundance on another side. is such a dichotomy. Some people have so much they don't know what to do with it, and some people can't even live from day to day. Why is that? Because people are sinful, and therefore there's restriction, mismanagement, bad leadership, or no leadership. So the world is pretty lopsided. So one way to bring a little bit of civility back to people's life is to distribute the mercy of the Lord in the form of prasadam. It's the easiest way to preach in this age. It is preaching because although it is seen as eating, and everyone must eat every day, that is a common practice or necessary practice and requirement. People don't even think about whether they're going to eat or not. They eat. It's something that everyone does to maintain the body and also to maintain, you know, some type of happiness. So eating is there, but here it says food, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, when you eat food that is not offered to the Lord, it's no better than eating sin. So most people are eating sin. Yagya sanshistito shanto muchite sarva kilbisa punchite te agam papam ye pachatma karanam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one who eats food that is not offered, it's eating verily eats only sin. He doesn't give any consideration. It's just sinful. Everything has to be, what we say, acknowledged from the source, and especially the process of eating. So, therefore, prasad. Prasad is non-different than Krishna. Sometimes we lose that understanding, and we think it's just food, and then we discriminate between this kind of prasad and that kind of prasad. Of course, it's natural to like a particular taste. I mean, people have their tastes. That's natural. But prasad is absolute also. Therefore, the spiritual benefit that one gets is coming from the principle of prasad and not so much the type of food you eat. That may be for taste, but the spiritual benefit is the actual essence of the offering, and that is the mercy of the Lord. When Prabhupada would have darshan in the evening, they would offer him a big plate of foodstuffs towards the end, and then Prabhupada would take a few morsels of different things just to sample, and then he would ask his servants to distribute to the devotees. But then he noticed that as was being distributed, people were pointing to different things. I want this, I want this, I want this. So Prabhupada thought this he wanted to teach a very important principle. So at one point he told, just mix it all together. Whatever it is, the dal, the sweet rice, just mix it all together. You know, the sabjis, the chutneys, and distribute it. And so that was the solution to that concern. So Prabhupada wanted to teach us that prasadam is Krishna and it's absolute. Here it says that one should distribute prasadam. It's one of the ways to, what we say, show kindness to the living entities. When Prabhupada was in, I think it was in Vrindavan, I'm not sure, maybe it was Mayapur, I'm not sure, one of the two places. When he saw the people from the local area fighting the dogs for some food, especially the little kids and the dogs were going to the scrap area where people were throwing their leaf plates and fighting over the morsels, Prabhupada actually became overwhelmed with spiritual emotions and said, now we should distribute prasadam to everyone within the 10-mile radius. And they started a program, we call it Food for Life. There's food for death and food for life. Food for death is what people eat every day. They're eating only sin. And they think they're getting healthy, but actually they're not, because food that is not offered to the Lord has no spiritual or even material benefit. But food for life is prasadam. It gives life to what is life, and that is the soul. And it also nourishes the body. And it's one of the most easiest way to preach in this age, because people are very much, what we say, in ignorance of spiritual understanding. So they can't understand philosophy. You find nowadays very few people can understand philosophical knowledge. Even devotees, we have a hard time reading Prabhupada's books and understanding what he's talking about, especially in many of the purports. So philosophy is very, as Prabhupada said, is for mostly for a few people. But prasadam and kirtan is for everybody. And that's the way to preach in this age. And of course, philosophy is also there. We give classes, we have seminars, we preach to the local people. But what are we preaching about? Take prasadam and chant Hare Krishna. That's basically the essence of our preaching. If they do that, then they have a chance to begin to understand a little bit about what we say, the difference between the body and the soul, a little bit of it between what is truth and what is illusion. Here, Prabhupada also goes into, it's interesting, he completely switches the topic or the theme of the, and talks about Mayavad philosophy, or people who designate food distribution as feeding God. Because now we can distribute food, because everyone is God, especially poor people are more God than rich people. It's interesting. If you're more poor, you obviously have a better opportunity to be God than rich. Because Narayan has become Daridra. He's become broke. Lakshmi somehow or other is no longer around. Where she went, nobody knows. But the Mayavadis know, therefore they have this inside idea that we should, you know, feed all the poor people, and therefore Narayan will again be nourished. Pretty useless understanding of existence. Now that's when you think about it, it makes no sense. Narayan. And therefore they say God has somehow or other taken the position of, you know, a poverty-stricken beggar. Therefore, if we simply distribute food, we can feed God. But we look at God, and he's on the altar. He doesn't look too poor there. He's got all kinds of jewelry and nice crowns, and, you know, he's got, you know, gold and silver, and he's got the best. That's the real God. This other God we have no use for. Because all it is somebody's idea. It has no basis in spiritual truth, nor is it in the Shastras anywhere. So this idea, Dridhir Narayan. So Prabhupada gives a very strict statement. They invent this idea, this is prohibited. Three words, one sentence. A three-word sentence, this is prohibited. One should distribute prasadam to everyone, and not everyone is God. If everyone is God, and somehow God has been covered by illusion, then illusion is stronger than God. Yes? And where did illusion come from? Illusion obviously came from God, and therefore God created something that is stronger than him, and now he can't control it. He gets influenced by what he made. It's a problem. So this their philosophy is more like, we usually use the nice word, philosophy. It's a philosophy for fools, Mayavad. And everything is one, everything is truth, but illusion has come over truth, and truth has to be revealed again through the philosophy of what? I don't know. I'm not sure what their philosophy is. It's just like, it's a matter of remembering that you're God, that's all. And God forgot. So these types of philosophical teachings, and devotees sometimes get trapped by, you know, what we say, the subtle principles of Mayavad philosophy. Just like Mayavadis, they worship Krishna, and they chant Krishna's name, or they chant the names of God. And it actually looks like a very expression of devotion. But what it is that they think beyond the forms, there is the formless. beyond the forms is the formless. The forms are there, and the forms are material, just like they think the deity is also material. It's made out of some kind of material, made of this world, whether it's wood or marble or brass, and therefore it's material. And therefore, God is spiritual. He's beyond the material. So his forms in this world are simply material, and they're simply meant for practicing us to worship. But beyond the form is the formless. Sounds pretty good? That's their philosophy. But therefore, what does Lord Chaitanya say? It's all illusion, their philosophy. What is that illusion? They think they are the supreme controllers, the supreme enjoyers. So they make a philosophy in order for them to become God and to become the enjoyer. So devotees know that this is simply another form of cheating. And one of the anarthas, there's 16 anarthas, there's 4 anarthas that are based on philosophical misconceptions. And one of the misconceptions is to mix in or to not be able to distinguish philosophy that is bhakti, or what we say, Sanatana Dharma, and philosophy that is Mayavad or impersonalist. And so we have to very carefully study these books. Sometimes people think, or mistakenly think, because Mayavadis, they speak Krishna's pastimes, Ram's pastimes, they chant, just like we have that example in the life of Gopal Raghunath Bhat Goswami. Raghunath Bhat Goswami was the son of Tapan Mishra, and he wanted to go see Lord Chaitanya in Vrindavan, so he was coming from Kashi, from Varanasi, traveling. And on the way, he stopped and met one very apparent, nice, saintly person. And this apparent person was very humble, very meek, but also apparently very devotional. He was constantly, not simply once in a while, but constantly chanting the names of Ram over and over again. And he became very much, what we say, attracted to Raghunath Bhat Goswami, so much so that he offered to do seva for him, to carry his bags, to come with him, and to assist him in whatever way he needed. Raghunath Bhat accepted because he thought this person is a very nice person, and Lord Chaitanya would be happy to meet him. So they went together to meet Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri. And of course, when they arrived, and this man was chanting constantly the name of Ram, Lord Chaitanya greeted both of them, but in one sense he didn't greet this other devotee. He simply greeted Raghunath Bhat Goswami and didn't even look, didn't even give a glance to this other person. What was his name? Ram Vishvasu, I think his name was. And the man was thinking, why isn't he looking at me? He's not even acknowledging my existence. And finally, of course, the Lord knows everything. So he turned to him and said, give up this idea of trying to become Ram. You should worship Ram. He was chanting the names of Ram with the idea to become Ram. So the Mayavadis do that. Are people who have this understanding that chanting, simply by associating with the holy name, you can actually become the holy name. By associating with the deity, you can become the deity. By associating with God, you can become God. So these are the deviations. And Prabhupada, we hear how strong Srila Prabhupada was against this philosophy. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyatyade Satarine. In 1970, in our ISKCON movement, a very strong deviation appeared within the society four very senior devotees, all sannyasis, started to say, Srila Prabhupada is God. He's not saying it, but he is actually God. We know that. And they started to hold meetings and gather other devotees to try to convince them of this idea that Prabhupada was God. He's Vishnu, actually. But because he's humble, he's not saying that. But we actually know he is. So the word, it started to have some effect with other people. And finally the word spread back to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in Japan at the time. It just so happened the deviation started in New Vrindavan, where most deviations start. Those of you know a little bit about New Vrindavan. Anyway, so it's got a history. And when Prabhupada heard that, he immediately sent word to tell these four sannyasis, he actually wrote a very long letter about it, they no longer can stay in our society, they have to leave, and they can go out preaching and prove themselves as sannyasis and give up this idea. So he actually banned them from the society and told them they can't stay in any temples anywhere. And then Prabhupada did one thing. He said, yes, they say that that the guru is God. And the reason they say that is because when they become guru, then they become God. He said, there's only one thing worse than underestimating the guru, and that is overestimating the guru. One thing worse than underestimating the guru is overestimating the guru. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai, Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. And that's what the Mayavads do, right? Everything is centered around Guru. But then, when they become God, according to their philosophy, Guru is no longer needed. They have this idea that Guru is like a ladder. He's a nice ladder, very useful ladder. And when you get to the top, what's the purpose of a ladder anymore? Because you made it. So the ladder has no use anymore, so kick it away. So that's the Mayavad understanding, that the guru is God, and then when I become the guru, I also become God. And because we're both God, it's okay, but I don't really need you because I'm God anyway. This is what we're faced with. You know. A lot of it. It's here in London too, believe me. A lot of it's here. This idea. Because unless we have a clear understanding of Srila Prabhupada's philosophy as presented in his books, we can very easily get fooled by these, what we say, subtle deviations in philosophical terms. And Prabhupada was very strong about that. So one is nothing worse than one thing worse than underestimating the spiritual master is overestimating the spiritual master. And then what Prabhupada said, he told them, he gave himself the second Pranam mantra. Namaste Saraswati Deve. Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Bastyatya De Satarine. He added that at that time when that deviation appeared. Just to make the point clear that I am actually a servant of Saraswati Devi, my spiritual master. I've come with the mission of Lord Chaitanya to the Western world to preach that mission and to destroy and to, what we say, expose the fallacies of Nirvishesha Sunyavadi, which is impersonalism and voidism. The Buddhists, mostly voidist, the impersonalists are everywhere. Personalist philosophy is very much in a minority. Most people who practice some type of what we say spirituality that comes from the East are either impersonalist or tinged by impersonalist ideas. And They may practice activities of devotional service, but the goal ultimately is to become the enjoyer in spiritual life or to become God, either one. But our understanding of spiritual life is we are always servant, and that's all. We can be different types of servants, but all we can only be is servant. And the servant has the same qualities as the master, but the same never has the same quantity. Quantitatively, the living entity is always in a very minute position, whereas qualitatively, the quality is the same. Of course, in restricted quality, in the sense that Krishna has unlimited qualities, and we have similar qualities, but not unlimited qualities. That's mentioned that the Supreme Personality of God, it has 64 prominent qualities. Narayan has 60. The powerful controllers, like the demigods, like Brahma and Shiva, they have 50 or 55. And then the living entities, the jivas, the ordinary jivas, they have up to 50 qualities of the Lord. So the living entity can never, even in a qualitatively, compare themselves to the Supreme Lord. Although the essence of quality is the same, we're both spirit, both eternal, full of, have knowledge, and ultimately have that nature of joyfulness. So this is interesting. Prabhupada wants to make the point of the dangerous, extremely dangerous of Mayavad philosophy. It's easy to get. Sometimes I'll give you an example of impersonalist philosophy. Prabhu, that was a really nice service you did. I didn't do it. Krishna did it. That's impersonalism. That's impersonalism. So we say, Krishna did it, I didn't do it. No, Krishna empowered you to do it, but actually you did it. You're part of that activity that actually manifested the activity, or the results of that activity. The living, it's not like Krishna did the whole thing and you had nothing to do with it. As a subtle form of impersonalism. Just to give you an example. So devotees should really study Prabhupada's books, especially the chapter on wherein Lord Chaitanya speaks with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Madhya Lila. I'm not sure of the exact chapter. And that really gets down to the essence of what's the difference between personalism and impersonalism. Because impersonalism and personalism exist side by side. Every aspect of existence has both elements, personal and impersonal. Therefore, the absolute truth also contains impersonal realization. But it's not the complete realization. It's only the eternal aspect of the person. To get to the level of what we say bhakti, you have to come to the personal aspect. There's no bhakti on the personal level. There's a little bhakti, but that bhakti cannot satisfy the living entity. And one can only come to the stage of what we say liberation from material existence in a way that is simply temporary. One falls again down to the material world. Aruna Krishna Padam Padam Padantiyada. Lord Brahma speaks this verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that even impersonalists, they go to the platform of realization. But because there's no service, there's no devotion, it's simply using the process of spiritual attainment simply to free oneself from material suffering, that's all. And so it's actually a very high form of material existence. But sometimes it's seen as, you know, it's one of the aspects of Brahma, it's Brahman realization or even Paramatma realization. But neither of these levels of realization can satisfy the propensity to love, because the propensity of love comes by nature of individual and personality, like that. Okay, so any questions, comments on Mayavad philosophy or Purshottam distribution?